We're going to be in Luke 7 today, Luke 7, verses 18 through 28. So we've been going through the Gospels in a chronological way, and I've enjoyed the study. I hope you have. And we've seen Jesus, he's traveling through Capernaum, and then he's from Capernaum. He's gone to this town of Nain that we saw last week. And in the midst of all this, remember before all the Jesus, you know, as he launched his ministry, there was a time that he did spend with John the Baptist, and shortly after that, John the Baptist was arrested. He was arrested by Herod. He has been put in prison. John had been in prison all this time, and he has disciples, people that were taking care of him, and people that helped him in ministry, and they're still taking care of him at this time. You got to think about a prison in this time that people had to bring you things, they had to provide for you, and so John has these people, and as they're coming and visiting him, these disciples, these men that were a part of his ministry team, I guess you could say, they were informing him of all the things that they've been hearing about Jesus doing, and John, as we can imagine, he was maybe a little down. Imagine being in prison. And I imagine they weren't quite as good as the conditions that we have today. And I say that. I haven't been in there, and I can imagine that prison today is still not a place that any of us want to be. But let's go ahead and read. We're going to read Luke 7. We're going to read 18 and 19, and then I'm going to stop and talk about a few things, and then we'll read 20 through 28. Let's pray, though, before we do so. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'd open up our hearts and minds and all that you would have us know, all that you would have us to live by. Lord, I pray this would be encouragement today. And Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord, we are your disciples. That means that we're pupils. And Lord, teach us so that we also can go and teach others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to read Luke. Like I said, we're going to read verses 18 through 28. I'm going to read 18 and 19 and then take a stop. So if you're those that would like to stand, we'll be doing that twice this morning. But it says in verse 18, it says, the disciples of John reported to him, talking about Jesus, so the disciples of John reported to Jesus, forgive me, that's wrong. The disciples of John reported to John about all these things, summoning two of his disciples. John sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? Wow. So here is John the Baptist, and he sends this message to Jesus through his disciples, where he says, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? Now, this is very significant when we think about John the Baptist. Because think about his history going all the way back to Luke 1. There was a time when Mary was pregnant with Joseph. I'm messing everything up today. We're just going to have, if there's any more fish left, we'll just have a fish fry. And where Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and remember, Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, which was John's mother, and she is pregnant with John, both being miracles. She was older, and Zacharias was told that God was giving them a baby, and there's a reason for him and to go before the Lord. And so when they met, John literally leapt in the womb. And then remember, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she made a proclamation of who Mary was and who Mary was carrying right there through the Holy Spirit. And so here in the womb, John the Baptist had an experience with Jesus. And then it said the spirit of Elijah was working through him. When Jesus came, and remember, John was going, and he was in the wilderness. He was baptizing people. He was dipping them in the water, bringing them back up. There was a repentance, is what it was all about. Repentance of sin, getting right with the Lord, And then Jesus comes to him, and remember, John recognized who he was. John knew who Jesus was, and what did John say? Remember, I am unworthy to even do what? Yeah, to tie his sandals, his shoes. And then Jesus said, no, this is the way it has to be. And so even Jesus gets baptized. He goes under the water, John brings him up. And then right in the midst of that, John witnesses the Holy Spirit descending on him as a dove. We often see those pictures literally have a dove, but it's just like a dove, how he came, the Holy Spirit. So he was there, and then he sees Jesus teaching, and then he's sending his disciples are being drawn into Jesus, and they're like, hey, should we follow him? Should we follow you? And John's saying, no, you follow him. He's the one. And so John is pointing to Christ, just as we should always point to Christ. And then remember, John says, I must decrease, and he must what? He must increase. And that's true of all of our lives, too. So here we are, the one who has had an experience with Christ like many other people had not had at this time, asking this question, are you the expected one? Come on, John, don't you know? John, you were there. I mean, wouldn't a good Christian and a good church people call up John and say, what are you doing? What are you doubting John now? We're going to forget just doubting Thomas. You can be, you're doubting John, and we have no room for you, for people like that on our ministry team, right? No, not at all. So John is doubting. Are you the one? He's discouraged. He's depressed. He's in jail. And guess what? The same is true of many of us. That we get to that place that we have these times of just where we're just spiritually, we're close to God, and there's things going on. We sense his presence. We're on fire. We see things happening. We're in the Word, and it's just like, man, this is cool. Life is just is going on, and then all of a sudden things get tough, or we fade away or whatever, and we're like, God, where are you? You know, and John is discouraged. Remember, Jesus is fully divine and fully human. John, he is fully human. And now God was working through him, but John was just a man, just like us. He was discouraged. He was down. And let's see how Jesus dealt with this. I'm reading now from 20 to 28. And when the men came to him, now that him really is Jesus, so when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? And at that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he, Jesus, answered and said to them, go and report to John that what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And when the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. He said, what did you go out to see into the wilderness, or what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You may be seated. So here, John the Baptist, discouraged, in prison, doubting. And look at the grace and the mercy that Jesus extended him with this question. Jesus wasn't offended, not at all. But he just replied to him, look what is going on. And so, again, none of us are in prison. None of us are quite experiencing things in this day and age. But I see some principles that we find in the scripture that is still true of us today, that when we come to a place of doubt, a place of struggle, a place of discouragement, some principles that we see in this passage that are still applicable and relevant for us today. And first, when we're dealing with doubt, we see to come to Jesus. It was talk to God, but when I heard Dawn's song today, I was like, yeah, come to Jesus. That's exactly what John did. He's having this discouragement. Hey, are you the one to be expected? Are you the one to come? I'm not sure. I'm hearing these things. Are you the one, Jesus? And he sends his disciples. He came to Jesus. Oh, you ever, as the song said, are you ever lonely? The things in life feel like they're all uphill. It's steep. There's pain. You just spiritually, emotionally, there's just darkness going on. You're just struggling. You haven't lost your salvation. You haven't done anything wrong, or maybe you have, or whatever. But you're just struggling in your faith. The first thing is to do exactly what John did. Now, John couldn't come because he was imprisoned, but he sent his disciple. Go and ask. I must know. That's the first thing, is that we can come to Jesus. We can talk to God. What is that about? It's praying. Praying, Lord, here I am. I tell you, that confession, I hit that a lot. I talk about that a lot. But it is so true that oftentimes, especially when we're followers of Christ, we come to this place, this culture and our own culture, and we ourselves, we expect that, hey, now we're Christians, we got to be perfect. And if we're not perfect, then we're hypocrites. And so we have this external life that we have, where glory to God, brother and sister, life is good, right? And then we got this real life that behind closed doors, we're just like, oh, Lord, help me. Where are you, Lord? Why am I feeling these things? Why am I struggling with this sin? Why am I struggling with these temptations? Why can't I get rid of these things? And it's the reality of the struggle that we have in our flesh and our spirit. And I tell you, those things you can come and talk to God about. Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I'm struggling with that. Lord, I'm doubtful here. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, where are you in this? Lord, I'm even angry with you in these things. Whatever that is hindering you, you can come to Jesus with. And you're not going to hurt his feelings. Now, if you rebel against him, well, that's a whole nother story. That's not what we're talking about here. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what you're going through already. You don't want to tell anybody about it. But guess what? He already knows, and he can help you. John went straight to Jesus with his concerns, and we can too. Next, we can seek comfort in Scripture. You know, now you're like, well, Pastor, where did you get that from? We can seek comfort in Scripture. Did you see those spots in 22 and 23? Depending on the kind of Bible you have, you may have all these little letters in there. You may even have quotation marks. Some of it might be even capitalized. And if it's in all caps and all those little letters and stuff, it is plugging back to scriptures that we find in the Old Testament. They're messianic prophecies. John the Baptist would know these messianic prophecies. I just read two of them to you from Isaiah 35 and then Isaiah 61, and those are exactly what Jesus referred to here. And so John would know about the Messiah. He would know what scriptures would say. And so what Jesus is saying, tell John this, that the things that the prophecies say, they are happening. And so you can find comfort in seeking the scriptures. And the same is true for us today. John didn't have the word. He didn't have a Bible with him. John would have gone to synagogue. John would have been he would have heard these scriptures. He would have learned these things. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do a very special job on preparing the people for the coming Messiah. He would know these things, and so those words would find comfort to him who was wondering if Jesus was really the one. Well, same is true of us today. When we get into a place of doubt, when we get into a place of discouragement, when we get to a place of depression, when we find our faith is more cold than hot, when our feelings don't quite line up with the things that we find is true, of what we hear in these types of settings, we can come to the Word of God and say, this is true. And I tell you, friends, I've been in places where I feel like this, and in my prayer life, I got to remind myself, and I confess this with God. I'm like, God, I feel this, but your word says this. Lord, I feel this, but your word says this. And may the things in your word be true in my life. And those bring comfort. Those bring strength. Those bring the ability to take the next step. I tell you, friend, this idea of the Christian life is when you come to the place, it's perfect. No, we just sang, Josh just sang as the worship team led us in singing a song about the enemy. What is it happening? There is good and evil in the world. That evil is what we find in Genesis 3, where the enemy, where Satan came and brought temptation, and sin came into the world, and there is struggle, there is darkness, there is challenges that come into our life, and we come to a place of salvation. Things get more difficult. Sin is revealed, and the reality is that even when we get saved, it's not that we are now no longer, that we're just perfect living, and all is good. No, it's now we know there's sin there, so then there's conviction, and then we got to deal with that conviction through confessions, through repentance, through struggling through it, or we don't, and our heart hardens, and we get away from the Lord, because you can't have any part of sin. When it gets tough, but we can seek comfort. I tell you, the two things that we find there, if you don't do any of the other ones, actually the other ones are pretty good too, but if you don't, just those two right there, when you get to that place of darkness of saying, God, where are you? I tell you, because it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. And we get to that place and say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. And I tell you, when you turn to prayer and you turn to God's word, things will begin to change. They will. Next, what we find, and we can come to Jesus, we can talk to God, we can pray, we can seek comfort in Scripture. Next is we can check your perspective. We need to check our perspective. What do I mean by that? There is a huge assumption about the Messiah, an assumption that still exists in the Jewish community today. Now, there's two. There's the Messianic, and then there's the Jewish, and those are the religious, and then those are just Jews in their nationalities. That actually would be three. But the perspective about the Messiah here was really all about the Jews. It was they thought they were looking for a national leader that would reestablish the nation. Because you got to remember the history of the Jews at this time is that there was Abraham, then there was Jacob, then the 12 tribes, and then there was Joseph. They went to Egypt, and then they grew, and then there was a Pharaoh that came that didn't know Joseph, and then there was Moses that led them out, eventually they wanted a king, and they got Saul, not so good. Then they came David, and remember in the times of David, and remember the prophecy said that Jesus, the Messiah, would be from the line of David, and if you remember the line of David, there was unity that came to the kingdoms, and then from that, the greatest empire was built, and then Solomon led over that, and so there was great, great, great times when Israel was the empire in history. And so here they're looking for this national leader that's going to reestablish this greatness. And then also they're looking for a military leader. Remember, to establish that greatness, David led in a lot of battles. There's a lot of things that had to be dealt with, and David and God used David to deal with many of those things. And so here they're looking at things and totally missing the messianic prophecies and missing all that God was really worried about. He wasn't worried about glorifying the Israelites. God's whole purpose was to be glorified. That's why he brought these people, and he made himself known to them so they can know him. And then the responsibility was to be a blessing to the rest of the world by letting them know that there is a God in heaven who loves them, and that and they are to worship him. They are to be the light of the world. And those things we find were passed on to us as the church. So their perspective was really more idolatry, where they were like, hey, what about us here? And so there was a perspective. And then there was also, they're looking for a religious leader for salvation, for righteousness. And how was he going to do that? The idea of him coming and being the sacrifice was not on the radar. And then personally, somebody that would restore peace. And we're like, didn't Jesus all that? Yes, because we know, because we see the hindsight. But in the midst of this, there's still the Romans were dominating. They were cruel, and so it was tough times. But what they didn't see, what they didn't know about the Messiah, is that the whole fact that if Jesus came in the way that he wanted them to come, they would all die. We wouldn't be here today, because the reality is that sin ruled the world, and Jesus came the first time to take care of that sin. Remember, I say things over and over again, but because they're important. In John 3, he didn't come to condemn the world. You know, sometimes we think about that, and we hear other people maybe talking about Christians are hypocrites, and there's condemnations and stuff. But no, the reality is the world was condemned. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. The problem is you're already condemned. I've come to save you. I've come to help you. This is part one of the mission, that I've come to bring grace and mercy and give you an age and a time to where you can respond to me, and you can come and you can be made clean. You can repent of your sins. You can have faith in me. I will be the perfect sacrifice. I will be your high priest. I will lead these things. And through me, you can know God in these ways. And I'm establishing a brand new world. I'm establishing a whole, you're talking about victory. What I'm fighting is not nations. I'm not fighting kings. I'm not fighting these things. I'm fighting the enemy. I'm fighting death. Because that's what came with sin. Death came with sin. So I'm fighting sin, and once and for all, we see the last enemy to be defeated when Jesus returns is what? Death. Is death. And so the whole perspective, Jesus had to come first for these realities to exist, and they didn't understand. They're sitting there saying, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about our country? What about our nation? What about our national pride? What about these things? And no, it's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be about God. Oh, when we're discouraged, when we're depressed, when we're looking at these things, what are we worried about? What is our perspective? You get in those places, those dark places, begin to thank you, God, for your grace. Lord, I feel this way, but your word says this. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I tell you, it's idolatry when we worry about more about ourselves, more about our organization, more about our nation, worry about all these things. We need to pray about those things. I'm not saying not to pray about those things, but I'm saying when we prioritize those over God, our whole purpose, our whole reason for who we are is to know God and to make him known. Nothing else. We worship him. You ever read through Psalms? If you haven't, I keep saying if you haven't read through something, you ought to read it. I mean, I literally mean you ought to read the whole thing. And when you get done, read it again. Because it's good, and you will not regret it, I promise you. But in Psalms, you remember, David would say, oh, help me, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. Things are terrible. People are trying to kill me. It's just challenging. Lord, I'm so depressed. Things are so dark. Lord, I'm so discouraged. But you, oh God, you are a great God. But you, oh God, you're an amazing God. Lord, you alone can save me from my enemies. Lord, you are worthy of all glory. So even in the midst of that, we'd see David pour out his heart before God, and then he would come back to the perspective of the reality of who God is. Are you depressed? Are you discouraged? Are you in doubt? I encourage you to cry out to Jesus, to find comfort in the Scriptures, and then check your perspective. Is it more on you or is it more on him? And then finally, do you notice that Jesus, when he talked about, after the disciples left and he was talking about John, he didn't say anything bad about John at all. I mean, can't we even feel more discouraged because of our own doubt? We'll be like, I'm a Christian and I'm doubting these things and I'm discouraged and I just sinned and I'm struggling in my sin and all this kind of stuff. And you can feel so discouraged and you'd even beat yourself up more than that. Do you notice that Jesus did not beat up John the Baptist whatsoever. Instead, he complimented him and said, what a great man. So number four as we leave, trust and press on. And press on. So many people fall discouraged. So many people fall in doubt. So many allow themselves to get into that place of, again, of darkness and just begin to beat themselves up. I'm not worthy. They step away instead of seeking God, instead of going back to the Word, going back to the foundations. You ever play sports? What do? They always go back to the fundamentals. Yeah, you know, can you dribble? Can you do the fundamentals? Can you run? Can you walk? Can you the fundamentals? And I tell you, the same is true of us in our Christian faith. We got to go back to the fundamentals. The fundamentals is God. Here I am, Lord, help me, Lord, and getting into His Word, because His Word is true, and then that helps us check our perspective in the midst of that. Then trust and press on. I tell you, Jesus talks us so many times throughout Scripture about persevere. Endure. And he talks about testimony. I was listening to a sermon this week, and you can't have a testimony without a what? A test. Yeah. To test on. When we read the James 1, it talks about, it says, thank God for these trials you're going through. For real? Thank God for these trials? No, why? Because they're creating endurance. They're creating greater character, deeper character in who you are. Oh, we can beat ourselves up when we come into the place of darkness. And even worse than that, we can beat others up when they are in doubt. First of all, if you're that kind of Christian, you are not that. There's nothing Christian about that whatsoever. When somebody comes to a place of struggle, that you're like, you know, sister, so? No, there's no Christ in that whatsoever. None whatsoever. But look at the compliments that he gave John. Jesus loves you, even in your doubt. Jesus loves you, even in the midst of your discouragement. The problem that he has is not with doubt and discouragement. The problem that he has is with rebellion. When you know the truth and you do something different, that is the problem that he has. So I hope you're encouraged today. Trust and press on. You know, Psalm 23 talks about going through the valley, through the valley of death. And sometimes a Christian walk is like going through the valley of death. But he is with you. I don't have a big idea today, but if you want one, it's don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. In a moment, Dick's going to pray for us, and Josh is going to lead us in one last song. And I just want you to think about those things. Where are you today? Are you doubting? Are you discouraged? If you're not there today, maybe you've been through that. Maybe sometime you will go through that. And I just want you to remember, first talk to God about everything. About everything. What if he tells somebody? He won't tell anybody. Unless you just need it, he might tell you to tell somebody. Like, maybe I'm sorry. I sinned against you. Please forgive me. But maybe just you talk to God. I need a counselor. Maybe that's true. But I tell you, the greatest counselor we have is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Just pouring out your heart before God. Talk to Him. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Check your perspective. Trust and press on.